TV.
Well, I want to thank you for all your beautiful responses to yesterday's show. That was just one of those shows where God completely hijacked it about a third of the way through. I had no intention of saying any of that. But, you know, I am, like you, broken. But in a good way. In a good way. Knowing that God is in control. And that he has got this. He's carrying it. And he's carrying us from start to finish. And I truly believe that when we are weak, then he is powerful. He performs in our infirmity. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. Personally, I was talking about my infirmity. But I was also imposing the same thing on you because I know that you're like me. I hear you. You talk to me. I talk to you. We feel infirm. I mean, we're members of the body of Christ. Are we up to this task? No. It's God operating in us to will and to work for the sake of his delight. Philippians 2, verse 13. And we're amazed at this because we know who we are. And we're just going through life trying to do the best we can. Sometimes we don't try to do the best we can. But if you're designated beforehand, you're designated beforehand. And we know we are because of the faith God has given us in order to believe the gospel of his servant, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was another guy who was broken. He's the one who said, when I'm weak, then I'm powerful. The power of God operates in me. And it's the scriptural precedent that God always operates against the sphere of human weakness. I mean, it's all over scripture. David and Goliath, weakness, as opposed to Saul, King Saul, who was head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. He was abnormally tall, kind of like Abraham Lincoln, but he was much better looking than Abraham Lincoln. And Israel wanted him for king because he was handsome and he was strong. He was virile. And that's how Israel judges things, by the flesh. That's how humans judge things, by how strong you are, how much money you have, how many followers you have on whatever social media platform. That's not how God measures power. And he's always toppling the strong by using the weak. And we're weak. But we walk with our heads level and even tilted up at a slight angle. I suggest maybe 23-degree angle. Looking toward God and the return of Christ, recognizing that everything we have comes from God. What do you have, Paul says. One of my favorite verses. I can never remember if it's 1 Corinthians 4:7 or 2 Corinthians 4:7, or maybe it's verse 17. One day I'll learn it. Read 1 and 2 Corinthians. What do you have? Read both of those letters. You'll find it. What do we have that we have not obtained? Nothing. We have obtained everything. We're passive receivers. And then God energizes us to give it out to others. Be gracious to others as I have been gracious to you. And we do that. It's a reaction. It comes natural to us. We don't have to force ourselves. We don't do it because we're consciously overcoming. We're complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. That verse must drive Mike Hoover crazy. He's never heard of that verse. I'm going to read a little bit more from Mike Hoover today, although that was also my intention yesterday, so we'll see. He has no idea of the peace and the quiet that comes with you are complete in him. That verse almost seems too good to be true. Colossians 2, verse 10, and you are complete in him. What do you add to complete? And yet, Mike Hoover was challenging us that we need to complete ourselves to conquer, to overcome our flesh, Did I ever remember it? Well, it came back to me. The big thing with these circumcision Israel overcomer types is dying to self. Oh, one of their favorite phrases is to burn off the dross. The dross is any impurity that affixes itself to a metal, and when it's subjected to the fire, the dross burns off, leaving the metal. Sounds like a painful process to me. Don't really want anything to do with it, and don't have to, because Jesus Christ did that for us. He overcame for us. He burned all the impurities out of humanity by going to the cross. That's where all the impurities were burned out of humanity. He became a sin offering. He took on those impurities, and by the fire of his affliction, rose from the tomb without them. Thus, all things are new. Mike Hoover, the guy who wrote 2 weeks ago, all things are new. Because of Christ, we're complete. Because of Christ, we don't have to overcome anything. You're still slugging away. Have I introduced myself? I have not. This is Martin Zander. Welcome to the show. Yes, it's coming back to me now. Dying to self. We have to die to self. We have to put another nail in the old Adamic nature. That is a phrase that this group loves. The Overcomer Kingdom group. They love to talk about the old Adamic nature. That we have to put the old Adamic nature to death. What? Haven't they read Romans chapter 6? I really don't think they have. I think they missed it. Maybe it was torn out of their Bibles. I don't know, but it would seem unlikely that every single one of them would have Romans 6 removed from their scriptures. But we were crucified with Christ. The old humanity was put to death at the cross. And yet, we must die to self. The self is still the enemy. The self must be conquered. Oh, the weight they put and the glory they give to the self. The self is the enemy of all progress in Christ. And they spend so much time overcoming the self, trying to overcome the self. If you want to give a nice Christmas present to an overcomer, give them a hammer and a handful of nails, because they love to crucify the old humanity. They like to put the old man to death. And so they will need a hammer and some nails and gradually just pound the hell out of their flesh. If they have some extra skin, like on their elbow, they could probably nail their elbow skin to a table or something. Crucify the old man. Got to get rid of that old man. Oh, if they only knew that the old man has already been gotten rid of, and now we're cruising. We are free. I'm going to read a verse on that today. Let's see if I can do it. We're cruising and we're free. And we're complete. Because Christ did all our overcoming and all that ugly being crucified stuff. All that ugly dying to self business. Oh, it's already done. Apparently in the year 33 AD. It's already been done. Oh. And now we just learn about it. And the spirit we get from God is not in order to overcome our old humanity. The spirit is to recognize that the old humanity was already overcome. Oh, that was good. I wonder if I can say that again. We need spirit. We pray for the spirit of God to come to us. Not so that we have the courage and the strength and the guts to nail ourselves to the table, to crucify the old humanity in us, to put the old Adam to death, to burn off the dross, to die the self. No. That's not what spirit does for members, for true members of the body of Christ. Paul prays for spirit so that the members of the body, and especially he writes this in Ephesians, that you would be able to come to a realization of the truth, a recognition that your death was already accomplished, that this death to self was already done at Calvary. That's what the Spirit of God, Spirit of wisdom and realization in the recognition of Him. Cruising. We're cruising. Look, we're hurting. We're oftentimes discouraged, we're in pain, but at the same time, we're cruising. You have now reached cruising altitude and are free to move about the cabin. Remove your seatbelts, folks. You don't need seatbelts. These kingdom people, they got to strap in. They need safety equipment. They need airbags because it's a harrowing ride for them. It's dangerous, especially when you go through the tribulation trying to be an overcomer. Oh, if you're going through the tribulation, I recommend airbags, side airbags for sure, passenger side airbags. Yeah. And you need one of those little help buttons to carry around. Like I've fallen and I can't get up. But we don't need any of that. We're at cruising altitude. We've already won. The victory is ours. And again, the Israel crowd hates this. Paul said the same thing I'm saying to you. He said the same things to the nations. And Israel hated him for it because they were all about the flesh and all about conquering. And it was devastating to an Israelite. Devastating. To hear that Paul was telling these members of the nations, these former idolaters, I'm not talking like 10 years ago, like last week, an idolater last week. Last Thursday, Bill of Thessalonica was visiting a cult prostitute. Then he ran into Paul at a meeting at somebody's house, and Paul said, "Hey, Bill, you're complete in Christ." Bill said, "What do I got to do?" "Nothing. You're complete in Christ as you stand. Because the grace of God is upon you, sir. It was Christ's death for your sin that has set you free and made you complete. And you are currently, sir, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials." "But Paul, you don't know what I just did last Thursday." "I don't care what you did last Thursday. Don't do it again. If you can help it, it's a bad look. It's a bad look for the body of Christ, Bill. I don't recommend you going to any cult prostitutes. It's a bad look. It's not good for you, not good for your family. Not a good look for the body of Christ." It was an exhortation. It wasn't a law. Paul didn't give anybody laws. He exhorted them to live in a manner of thanksgiving for the grace. But you can't live in a manner of thanksgiving. You can't be thankful for the grace if you don't think you have it. These people don't think they have it. None of the Christians think they have it. They're still working for it. How can they be thankful? What the hell are they thankful for? That's what I'd like to know. What are Christians thankful for? They're all on probation. They have to repent 55 times a day for all of their sins. They're not really 100% sure they're saved. If they don't forgive their fellow man, then neither will Jesus forgive them. That's what their gospel says. And it's true. That's what their gospel says. Their pardon, they're only pardoned. They're not justified. Their pardon can be revoked. It's dependent upon them pardoning other people. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Well, I'm sorry, it's a legitimate prayer for Israel. For Israel. Israel is not cruising. They're not at cruising altitude. They're experiencing severe turbulence. So is Mike Hoover. So are all the overcomers. So are every Christian, every denomination. They're experiencing severe turbulence. They can't get out of their seats. They have to strap in the whole time. They can't sneak a smoke in the lavatory. We can if we need to. We can bring our own booze on board and take a shot while the flight attendants aren't looking. You know, it's the freedom in Christ. I mean, we don't want to flout it. We don't want to shove it in anybody's faces. No, but these poor Israelites, never breaking through the clouds, never getting to cruising altitude, never leveling off, constantly fighting the turbulence. Wow. We're good. We're good. I have some folks to thank here. Diane and Dave Ward, who live in Arizona, they sent this beautiful photo to Maria and me as a Christmas gift. Look at that handsome couple. Beautiful couple. She's beautiful. He's handsome. And they sent us a gift. It is a medallion of some kind. I don't know if it's magnetic. I don't think it's magnetic, but I don't know how they got this picture. But they sent my wife Maria and me this lovely ornament. It kind of looks like a Christmas ornament, doesn't it? But look at that. There's a handsome couple. Now, I don't know where Dave got this photo. Must have sent it to him at some time. But that's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Dave and Diane. I appreciate that. And then Bob Evelyn and his wife, Bob and Kathy, they sent me a beautiful card. And Bob is so good at sending gifts here and just taking care of a weary soldier. I really appreciate that, Bob. And Linda Morse. Oh, Linda, thank you. I got your card. I got all the sausages and the cheese and the candy and the crackers and things that you sent. Thank you so much. And Maria is also very thankful for all this. Her mind is blown by all this. This is really good. This is really good. She's amazed. She says, baby, these people love you. I said, why you sound kind of shocked. Well, I am. Oh, she is kind of shocked. She is astounded at the grace of God. And this is good for her to see. So thank you. Thank you for that. You are a great help to me and to my wife. Let me tell you. And then there's a gentleman in Washington. And his name's Alan Schrader. This is I don't think he'd mind reading it. He wants me to come give a conference in Washington State, Colville, Washington. But he wants me to give it at the senior center. He said there's a senior center. He says they rent it out for certain purposes anyway. And he's very sweet. He wants to help get things going. Alan, I have to say this is I'm going to have to pass on that because I just can't cold call people. Like I can't go into a senior center and start heralding the gospel. I mean, that's just me. I can do it here on this show. And you can send it. You can play it at the senior center. They have a giant screen. You can put me up there. And if you like a particular show where I don't say any bad words, you can put me on the screen there at the senior center. I'd be happy for that. But actually, go to the trouble of flying all the way to Washington, which is as far as you can possibly fly from Fort Lauderdale in the contiguous U.S., that would be a rough way to go. Because it's not technically a conference. It would just be, let's show up at the senior center and see if any of this sticks. I appreciate the thought, though. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I would like to call out and thank, shout outs. No, it's not a call. A call out's a bad thing, right? Yeah, okay. Shout out to Brian Tripp. Let me tell you, he goes by Fellowship of the Mystery, and he comments frequently. And let me tell you, you know, we currently have a strike on YouTube. It was an accident. Rodney Paris accidentally uploaded like 10 seconds of a video that was copyrighted, and he didn't even publish it yet, but YouTube tagged it, and we got a strike. This is bad, because if you get 3 strikes within a 90-day period, this strike will go away in 90 days, but if you get 3 strikes, it's not likely to happen, but if you do get 3 strikes in a 90-day period, this whole channel will be gone. Gone, everything. 3,700 videos will disappear. My channel will disappear. I mean, of course, that'd be a nightmare. Don't want that to happen. But the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. But Brian Tripp has taken every single MZTV broadcast, and he has put it on Rumble.com. And I've recently communicated with him, and he is taking all 151 Return to Zender shows. Those were the shows I did in my car. You folks really liked those shows. A lot of foundational truth there from that Honda Accord. And so he's getting those up, and all the Crack of Dawn reports. I don't know. I mean, if he's up to it, if he wants to put the Revelation series on Rumble, that would be great, but I don't even have the guts to ask him to do that. It's such hard work. He's doing this on his own because a man is foresightful. And if anything ever happens to this channel, folks, I'm just telling you this. Go to rumble.com and put my name in there, and all the videos will be available there, and I will be broadcasting every day still. If everything crashes on YouTube, God forbid, I'll be on rumble.com. Remember that, rumble.com. And thanks to Brian Tripp, all my videos. We'll see if he can get all of them up there, but this is a labor of love. Fellowship of the Mystery. Please, everybody, thank him. Round of applause for Brian Tripp. It's a labor of love. He's putting all those videos up there. Thank you for that. And I meant to put a contribution link. If anybody, again, wants to contribute, and first of all, thank you for all your comments for yesterday's shows. I knew as I was saying these things, as I was spilling my heart and my guts, I knew that a lot of people watching me feel the same way. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. This is going to encourage a lot of people, and it did. Thank you. I'm so thankful for that. If anybody wants to contribute to the show to help keep it going, I'll have my sister put the link down here. Enough said about that. It's not required at all. You don't have to do anything. Just enjoy the presentation and love the grace of God. Now, back to Mike Hoover. Oh, yes, this is still have to do with Mike Hoover. This whole dying to self thing. And I'm going to get into that. Looks like more tomorrow. Dying to self. It is such a lie. It is such an insidious lie because it sounds so spiritual. It sounds so holy. It gives the person something to do. It gives someone a reason to lord it over other people because they're behaving better than other people, or they're dying to self at a faster rate. They got more nails in their skin, nailing themselves to the coffee table than anyone else. They're really doing a great job of killing that old humanity. It's still squirming a little bit, but they got some nails for Christmas from subscribers to MZTV. Oh, wouldn't that be something? Anyway, this crowd, and one of their biggest crimes is spiritualizing scripture. As we saw, Mike has spiritualized away, allegorized away the snatching away. He says that air is almost always used in scripture to denote spirit, and we found out that it's not the case. I read all 7 occurrences of the Greek word aer to you, and not one of them bespeaks spirit. It all has to do with this stuff I'm breathing right now and that you're breathing right now. But this is a way for the spiritualization crowd to get on top of what they consider the intellectual people. We're the eggheads. We're the intellectuals. We're the people who, according to them, try to read the scriptures carnally. We're reading it intellectually. And they think that the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God. Why do they say that? Because they read the King James Version, which says the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll quote it here. But that's a wrong translation. That word should never have been translated natural. There's another word for natural that was translated natural also by the King James Version. This is psuche. The word here is psuche. It should in no way be translated natural. It should be translated soul. And the Concordant translates it that way, the correct way. This the soulish man that is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God. The soulish man, the man that relies on his feelings and emotions, which ironically describes the overcomers, the Pentecostal types. It's the soulish man. So with the wrong translation, though, the natural man, wrong translation, but that would make you think that, okay, if the natural man is not receiving the things of the Spirit of God, then there must be something wrong with nature. I can't study the scriptures because that's natural. I can't use my mind because that's too natural. I can't use my intellect. I can't use my reason, my knowledge. I can't use my logic. No, that's natural. But no, that's not it at all. And so we know how difficult it is to learn laws of language, to follow rules of scriptural interpretation. We research the Greek. We look at the original languages. We open a concordance, find out where the inconsistencies are. And this is hard work. And the people of this camp, the Pentecostal / kingdom, and that's the 1,000-year kingdom, by the way, on earth. These people are earthly overcomers. They're into revelation. They don't want to escape. They want to stay here. They love to overcome. So God's going to, okay. As you wish, as a man thinks, so is he. Off you go to the tribulation. But they need a way to, this is going to sound bad, but they need a way to get on top of us, and so they cheat. They cheat by spiritualizing everything. It's so hard to, well, gosh, in a way it's easy. I was going to say it's so hard to take the word of God literally, but it's really not. It's really not. But you do have to understand what he said. You do have to read a good version. But to them, that's not flowing in the spirit. And so they want to take a shortcut. And they want to feel superior. I've known people. Some of them were in my extended family back in the day. They want to feel superior to those who study to show themselves approved, who study the original language. They think we're, and Mike does too, they think that that's carnal. You're not supposed to use your mind. You're using your natural mind. See, they don't like the word natural because of the King James mistranslation. That's the damage that the KJV mistranslation has done. People think natural is evil. But it's the soulish man, the emotional man. Okay, the natural man is fine, just fine. Of course you're supposed to use your mind. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, not the removal of our mind. Renewal. The same mind, it's just renewed. Same mind, same brain, same cerebral cortex, gray matter, medulla oblongata, cerebellum, the same mind. It's just now fueled by a different source. It's fueled by spirit rather than emotions. It's the same brain, though. You still think. Of course you have to think these things through. I almost said think these things through. I almost slipped back in. I think my mouth is getting a little better. I mean, I still got problems because of the surgery, but I think I'm improving. What do you think? Be kind. So they hate to think that understanding God would be that much work. They don't like to think that. They think that God would not make it that hard. But again, it's not hard to take it literally. It's hard to come up with new ways to twist the literal word of God. So they flow in the spirit. They come up with all kinds of different interpretations. Every one of them has a different interpretation. It's like so subjective. And there's no absolute truth. It's like everybody's correct. Is that how you feel that verse should read? Is that how you feel God is trying to communicate with you? Then it's right. No, it's not right. But they go on feelings. They go on feelings. And it makes them feel good because everyone can be a scholar. You don't need to be a scholar. That's the thing. Everyone can be a spiritual scholar. And a spiritual scholar is not a scholar at all, the way they understand it. It's somebody who just interprets scripture on a whim, on how they feel, on what makes them feel good. It's a shortcut. And the junk teachings that they come up with via this method, oh, it is shameful. I got much more to say on this dying to self thing, because where do you hear? I haven't even quoted Mike. I just quoted him a little bit. Tomorrow, I'm going to quote him more, and we're going to really hone in on this death to self. Death to self, no. Christ was crucified for our sakes.